In Numbers chapter 10, Israel, God's people, is about to leave Mount Sinai to journey towards Canaan, towards the promised land. So remember that over a year ago, they've been taken out of Egypt and they've come to Mount Sinai and they've been there just almost a year, not quite. 11 months and 20 days, nearly a year, they've been there at Sinai, and now the time has come to leave Sinai and go to the land that God has promised them. And just before they go, God provides for them two silver trumpets. Now, I need to say to you that there were many trumpets in Israel, and they were made from the ram's horn. So they had plenty of flocks, and the trumpet is called the shofar. Some of you might have heard that word. The trumpet that was made from the ram's horn was a kind of curved trumpet of bone. But these two trumpets were entirely different. Okay, they were made out of silver, ram's bone, out of silver, and they were made as hammered work, which means they took a piece of silver and they beat it. It remained as one piece, and they beat it into a tube that was about a half inch at one end and about 3 inches at the other, and they think it was about 2 foot long. It may have been a bit longer, but it was a straight trumpet. Okay, and if you some of you will remember or heard of Tutankhamun, and in what they found in his tomb, they found the type of silver trumpet that was probably made. Israel had just come out of Egypt. They would have met with things like this in Egypt. And they were made of pure silver, and they were made all of one piece. Now, what I want to say to you this morning, before we look at the details, is that the gift of these trumpets was a token to his people of his love for them. These trumpets, and you'll see, I think, God gave them these trumpets out of his love and care for them. And we'll see a little bit more about that in a moment. Well, what were these trumpets used for? First of all, they were used to call the whole people together to the house of God. That was the first thing. There was in the middle of the camp, there was what's known as the tent of meeting. That's where God would meet with his people, and these trumpets were used to call all his people to his door, to his house. You notice in verse 8 of this chapter that it was the job of the priests to sound the trumpet. And the priests were doing that as servants of God. When the priests took the trumpet up to blow it, the people knew that they were doing that by the command of God. When they blew the trumpet, God was speaking to his people, calling them to his door. And if you think about what this meant, the tabernacle in the middle of the camp was God's dwelling. It was as if he was speaking to his children and saying, come to me, come to my dwelling place, there in the middle of your camp. And not only that, but the tabernacle, after all, it was only a tent. It was a very beautiful tent, but it was only a tent. But nevertheless, that tent was, in a way, a kind of anticipation of heaven. When they came to the tent of meeting where God would speak to them, it was a kind of foretaste that one day he would call them to himself in the heavenly kingdom. It was this tent which became the tabernacle. It was known as a house of prayer. In other words, this was where God would speak to his people and they could speak to him. That's the significance of this. This is nothing ordinary. This is most special. And before we go any further, I want to say to you that the heart of a child of God, the heart of a child of faith, would be so glad to be called to the house of God. I'm trying to look for... There's a place in the Gospel of Luke where we have our Lord Jesus as a boy. His parents couldn't find him in Jerusalem. Eventually they found him in the temple. And he said to them, "Didn't you know I must be in my Father's house? Didn't you know that? This is where I belong, in my Father's house." And you see, this was the heart of Christ, that the desire to be in his Father's house. We can go to the psalmist. Listen to some of the words of the psalmist. He says this: "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Listen to this. "When shall I come to appear before God?" He says, "My tears have been my food night and day." In other words, when the psalmist wrote this, for some reason or other, he was prevented from coming to the temple, coming to the tabernacle, and it upset him. It was a pain in his heart not to gather to the house of God. And you know, this is repeated in Scripture. Listen to this. "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me where? Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." I say to you that the trumpet was there to call God's children to his door, to his house. And the child of God who is alive by faith needs no persuasion. It is his joy to come to the place where God will speak to him and he will speak to God. He says, "I will praise you on the harp." I tell you, these brief comments, this is the heart of a believing child of God. And I say to you this morning, if a Christian neglects gathering together and feels no pain over it, it is a sign that that person is backslidden, at best backslidden. It is a terrible thing for a Christian to grow cold towards God. You know, let's be true to ourselves. We can, without noticing it, suddenly find that our heart has slipped. And that we no longer, as it were, anticipate coming to God with joy and expectation. And we need to think about this. When those trumpets sounded, the child of God was glad. God has called me to his house, to his door. You know, we had 3 years ago when restrictions came upon worshipping, and churches turned from gathering to things on the internet. We learned at that time that there is no internet substitute for gathering in the house of God. Worship is not a spectator sport. It's not something that you can do by sitting on your settee with a cup of coffee and looking at a screen. God has called us, the Lord has called us to assemble. That's what he's called us. You know Hebrews chapter 10, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." And so the first thing, the first lesson, as it were, or the first use of these silver trumpets is this, that God, in his great love for his people, calls them to his house. He called Israel to his house, and he calls us today. Now, I will not comment on the additional assemblies where the elders or the leaders were called. If only one trumpet sounded, the leaders were called to the door. But this morning we'll just note that and pass on. Secondly, these trumpets were blown to call Israel to march forward. It's translated in our Bibles, to sound the advance. The journey, this is, as it were, Israel, pull up your tent pegs, pack up your things, gather your sheep and so on, and march along the journey that God has set before you. The trumpets were there to call them to go forward on their journey. And I'll just say very little more about this, but let me say this, that the journey, and we'll look more at this tonight, the journey that Israel was taking from Egypt and Sinai to the land of promise is, as it were, a picture, and is used as a picture later in Scripture, of the Christian's journey to God. It is like our journey to heaven. And I want to say this to you. We don't have silver trumpets, but we do have the preaching of the gospel. We do have the preaching of the word of God. And if you like, the preaching of the word of God is the sounding of the trumpet to come and journey to your heavenly home. The gospel calls you to leave this world and to come on the journey to the Lord. Well, more on that this evening. So first of all, the silver trumpets were used to call the people of God to the house of God and onto their journey to march to Zion, if you like. But then secondly, this morning, you can see later in the chapter that there was another use altogether, and that's in verse 9. The Lord said to them, when you go to war in your land, and this is the situation, they've come into the land, and then an enemy comes to attack them. So they are forced to go into battle to save their families and their own lives. He says this, then you shall sound the trumpet. I won't read from here. Essentially what they've been told is, when you're in battle, sound the trumpet. You know, it's an age-old practice, isn't it, to use trumpets or bugles in warfare. Armies all around the world have probably stopped using them now because they've got radios and high-tech stuff. But for centuries and centuries, they used a bugle to sound the attack, to sound the retreat, and so on and so forth. But here, the trumpet is not just a call to war. It's not just that. It is a call to war, but it's also a promise that in that warfare, God will remember you. This is a tremendous, look at this verse. When you go to war in your land against the enemy, who oppresses you, who harasses you, then you shall sound an alarm with trumpets. But listen, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Later, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about preaching again as using the silver trumpet. He says this, he says, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? But what he's not talking about the trumpet. We don't have that. He means if the preacher, as it were, fumbles the message. If the message is not clear, who will prepare for battle? What battle is that? The spiritual battle, of course. You see, God has called his people into spiritual warfare. And part of the task of preaching, part of the word of God is to say to you, put your armor on. Follow Christ into battle. Fight the good fight of faith. And the gospel does that. You see, the gospel calls people, not only, as it were, to forsake this world, but to enter into battle. But look, it's not just the call to battle, but what an encouragement. You know, when people go into battle, they know that they could die. They're facing violence and hostile forces. But here, look, you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Do you know, there's a... Later, there is an account of a battle. And it's in 2 Chronicles, chapter 13. And the armies of northern Israel were attacking Judah. And the king at the time was a king called Abijah. And Abijah, some of his words before the battle, he speaks to the enemy. Let me tell you what he said. He says this, he says, I'm only reading part of what he says, listen. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites? But listen, but as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and they attend to their duties. And listen, they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table, and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. We keep the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Now look, God himself is with us as our head. And listen to this. And his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. You know, Abijah said those things, and when he said those things, he was looking at the priests stood by him with the silver trumpets ready to sound, and he knew that God had promised to save them from their enemies. And we have a similar promise in the next verse. We have a similar promise. It says, and take these trumpets, and when you make your offerings, sound them. Sound them. And what is it? What is this? It's that God will remember you. He will see your offerings and remember you. It's as if the Bible is saying to us, God will not forget Calvary. God will remember your offerings, the sacrifices under the old covenant. But what about the death of Christ? We sing a hymn about, I think it's the words are, lest I forget Gethsemane. And we come to this table, and the table is there that we might remember the death of Christ. But here, God is teaching us that he will remember the death of Christ, and he will save us. This is at the heart of the gospel. This chapter is exactly at the heart of the gospel. When Christ offered his life blood for our sins, God is declaring here that he will remember his Son and he will save us for that reason. Well, here we are. We've hardly touched this chapter, but we've seen the trumpets were used to call the people of God to assemble. Come to God, your Father. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. And we've seen that the trumpets also contained the promise, the essential promise. You will be saved. Sound these trumpets before the Lord and you will be saved. You'll be saved in the battle. And you'll be saved by the blood of the sacrifices, effectively by the blood of the Lamb. But thirdly and finally this morning, and briefly, let me tell you this. The Bible also says, also speaks to us about the last trumpet. Okay? It's in 1 Corinthians, first of all, I'll just read it to you. In 1 Corinthians 15, 53, is it? 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 52, it says this. Behold, I'm reading around it. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. Why not? Because some will be alive when Christ returns. So many will die, some will not, but Christ will return. We shall not all die, but listen. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eyelid, at the last trumpet. And here Paul is speaking about Christ's coming, and when he comes, the trumpet will sound for the last time. For he says, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive will be changed. What is Paul saying? He's saying, the last day of history is coming. The time when Christ will return is coming. And on that day, a great trumpet will be sounded. Why? To gather the people of God to him for the last and final time. I don't know how many times in the deserts of Sinai, I don't know how many times the people of God heard that trumpet sound calling them to his house. But the day will come when the call of God will be heard for the last time. The trumpet will sound. And such will be the power of that trumpet call. It will wake the dead. It will call people out of their graves. It will call them to God. Now, the Lord Jesus speaks about this in his ministry too. I've just read to you from Paul. It says this. In Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus says this. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the same thing. The day is coming, he's saying, when I will return. And I will not come as I came in Bethlehem, incognito, in some little place. On the clouds of heaven, he will return, and every eye, it says in Scripture, every eye will see him. Not one person who has ever lived will not be there. And he says this, he says, when I come, he says, the tribes of earth will mourn. Many will not greet Christ with joy. Many who have spurned him in life will mourn on that day when they are called out of their graves to meet the one that they have never honoured, never believed in, never loved, never trusted, hated. When they meet him, they will mourn. But he says this, but the angels will go out with the sound of that trumpet and they will gather his elect. In other words, they will gather to him his children, those who have known him and have loved him and have believed in him and have served him and have lived for him. We will never hear those silver trumpets that Israel heard. We will hear the trumpet call of the gospel. We will hear the preaching of the word calling everyone to Christ. Week by week, that trumpet sounds. Week by week, men and women are being called to Christ. They are being called to gather at his house, to come and put their trust in him who died that we might be forgiven. That's the trumpet call today. Gather to your Lord. And all those who have lived on this world will one day hear the last call. The last time on this earth that the call of God will be issued. And the elect of God, the believers, will hear it and be gathered. And the tribes of earth will mourn. Well, we can think about Israel of old. We can think about ourselves today. But we dare not think about where we'll be on that last day. Where will you be on that last day? How do you respond today to the call of the preached word? Do you gather to Christ in faith? Do you come to him? Do you know the Saviour? Are you his? And how you respond to the gospel call today will tell you what will happen to you on the last day. If you will not hear the trumpet call today, then it will not call you for the last time. It will not call you to Christ. You see, this is a matter of great importance for our souls, isn't it? We hear the call of God today and we prepare for the day when that trumpet will sound for the last time and the door of salvation will be closed. The opportunity will be gone. May God grant that we might hear that call and come to Christ in faith and love. Amen.